Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to do that.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
butt.
No, honey.
Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Hi, welcome back in hour three of Dirt and Sprague, Luke and Swag filling in for the guys tomorrow. Best of Monday. They are back in the saddle. Right now we're talking a little NFL football. Looking at the division races, we just talked about the NFC East, but the most challenging races, at least from the forecasts and betting odds, are all in the NFC. We are disagreeing. I have Washington winning. You have Philadelphia winning the NFC East. But as we look at the other divisions, the one that I'm most confused about is probably the NFC South. Tampa Bay won last year and is the favorite to win this year. But right behind them, the Atlanta Falcons and Carolina Panthers odds not that far off at plus 400.
No, Tampa's
Saints
only...
are less likely.
Yeah, Saints are plus 1,400 to win the division. Tampa Bay minus 105, but the Falcons are at plus 240, Carolina plus 370.
Yeah, so right in there, the Saints kind of just resetting everything that they are doing. So I don't think Tyler Shuck is going to be leading them to the promised land immediately. But you know what? Nobody thought Bo Nix was going to be the guy that quickly in Denver. I think
with Sean Payton, the former Saints head coach there, you at least, you know, and the tradition that they had on defense, there were a lot more pieces. They said, okay, if Sean Payton is the quarterback whisperer, Bo Nix, with all of his experience, he might not be able to physically do some of the things that, you know, previous quarterbacks could do, but his smarts and his savvy. You certainly felt like you had the opinion, the opportunity to be okay sooner.
Well, Tyler Shuck moved around a lot and played a lot of college football. I don't have him in the same mold, and I didn't follow him as closely after he left Oregon as I did Bo Nix when he arrived at Oregon. But who knows what the Saints will be. Who are you picking between Tampa Bay, Atlanta, and Carolina? Carolina is the one that I don't believe in yet.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Michael Penix Jr. Tampa because of the continuity that they have right now. If Michael Penix, you would have loved to see them get him start sooner last season so he had a little bit more.
Yeah.
But what they've done in the offseason, and I think the best value right there is with the Falcons at plus 240. I think you could very much see them figuring it out pretty quick.
Do you know when the last time the Atlanta Falcons made the playoffs?
It's been a while.
2017. It has been a while. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of get something going. The two most intriguing divisions in all of football, I think, are the NFC North, where I think you and I are looking at different odds, but I've got the Lions at plus 125, the Packers at plus 250, the Vikings at plus 300, and the Bears at plus 450.
I'm looking at the current Oregon Lottery DraftKings.
Okay.
So the Lions are plus 150.
Okay.
Packers plus 250, Vikings plus 350, Bears plus 450.
So there you go. I mean, not a huge separation in any of those. The Lions win the division last year, challenging for the top spot, but lose both coordinators to head coaching jobs. Ben Johnson goes to Chicago to take over as head man there. And I don't know Ben Johnson as a head coach, but I think he might have his quarterback watch film. I don't know. That seems like something that would help a quarterback in his second year. But here you have it, the NFC North. Who would you take to win that division?
Probably the Lions.
Okay.
And the fact that you're getting plus money.
Sticking with it.
I think they're the most consistent week to week.
Packers have been a playoff team for a couple years, too.
I know.
Okay.
The biggest, you know, wild card factor will be what J.J. McCarthy is.
Yes.
With the Vikings.
Well, I still think the Bears are a wild card. I mean, you go new head coach, and Caleb Williams showed that he had some flashes but wasn't great, didn't light the world on fire last year. And if you can get him to...
I think that's more about the coaching and how quickly can Ben Johnson get them organized to take advantage of all of the potential talent that they have.
I saw the Bears at 8.5 win total.
The Vikings have most of the pieces.
Fair.
Can a rookie quarterback, he will be essentially a rookie quarterback, can he orchestrate it?
Okay. Bears 8.5 wins, over under.
Let me look at their schedules. Who do they?
Well, they play this whole division. They play six games just within the division, so they know that.
They'll be lucky to go 3-3.
Okay.
Who are the other divisions they are matched up with? Let's take a look. They got the AFC North.
Okay. So you're going to have to play Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns. Browns are going to be terrible.
Steelers and Browns, you got shots at. They're on the road at the Bengals and Ravens. So those are both road games. Yep. Don't like that.
Yeah.
Looks like the NFC East. So they're at the Commanders and Cowboys.
Okay.
And they're at the Eagles. So they're at the Niners. Boy, if they could be healthy, I would go under.
Okay.
I think they will play a lot of competitive games. I don't think they'll be pushovers the way they've been previous years.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty rough schedule on paper.
Yeah. Well, the AFC, the only division favorite that is plus money is the Houston Texans. All of the rest are negative.
Chiefs are only minus 120. You're not getting a ton of value on the Chiefs right now. And that's just more about can they keep doing it.
Yeah. The other division that has a very
tight race.
The Bills
are a juggernaut.
And the rest of the division, who do you believe in there? I mean,
nobody believes in the Jets.
Yeah, two new coaches in 2 years.
Everybody believes Mike McDonald's likely to be the first coach fired.
Oh, yeah.
If they get off to a slow start.
I don't disagree with that.
And the Patriots, they're like, okay, how quickly can Vrabel turn them back into a, you know, serious football team?
Or can he? I mean, I know he did it with Tennessee, but
there's hope. I think there's hope for the Patriots finally having some stability and consistency, and Drake May might have the tools to develop into a competent, quality starting NFL quarterback.
But constantly changing your head coaches is not an ideal situation. So we'll see what happens there. But the most intriguing division, and I think the one both Dirt and Sprague 49ers fans, I know that you've adopted an AFC West team.
That's
right. I don't think that there's any question that the most intrigue locally is around the NFC West. 49ers are your favorite. Do you want to use your Oregon Lottery odds?
Plus 150. The Rams are plus 195. Seahawks plus 475. The Cardinals plus 475.
Ooh, I've got the Cardinals favored ahead of the Seahawks on this is from ESPN.
Okay.
But either way, you've got that. The Niners finished last in this division, so they are playing a fourth place schedule, which benefits them slightly. But do you believe that after paying Brock Purdy, the rash of injuries that they've had over the last few years, and you know, not really doing anything to change a team that, you know, was bad last year but was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, do you think the 49ers have what it takes? I have a hard time believing it.
I don't think they're going to run away with it.
Well, I don't think anybody.
If I was going to lay some money, I would lay it on the Rams, hoping that Matt Stafford stays upright for 17 games.
Yeah.
But all of the, you know, we saw those rookies on the defensive front for the Rams.
Yep.
Who appear to be the next generation of just terrors.
Oh, I know. And they just find guys in the draft so consistently. It's disgusting.
If they can try to figure out how to come up with some consistent, you know, rushing attack to offset some of the reliance on Matt Stafford, then control games a little bit better. And when they get leads, then with that defense, if they can run it a little bit, put a little bit more scoreboard pressure on opponents.
Yeah.
I could see the Rams winning that, but I think I don't think you're going to see a 14-3 division winner in that division.
All right.
Like 11-6 might do it. They're going to beat each other up pretty good.
Well, and I think you're going to see the same thing in the North. I think you're going to see a lot of it throughout the NFC. I think it's going to be just kind of back and forth.
Well, it depends on if the Bengals can, you know, play defense.
Well, honestly, and they don't need to play much either. I mean, the fact that Joe Burrow almost drugged that team that was absolutely abysmal, not just bad, like historically bad on defense, and he almost drugged them to a playoff berth.
If the Bengals have some semblance of defense, where the offense, you know,
well, let's do this. I want to get your thoughts on the Seahawks, and then we'll jump into the AFC. Oh. And we'll just do the AFC as a whole.
I'm curious about the Seahawks.
Yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on them because we don't need to dwell on it. So we'll finish this segment with what you think of the Seahawks because you've got a new quarterback, new number one wide receiver. You've got a defense that got better every single game last year. Do you believe in Sam Darnold? Do you believe? And, well, I was reading through. This is what intrigued me. The best addition for each team in the offseason. You had Cooper Kupp. You had Sam Darnold. And I can't remember who wrote the article. The biggest addition to the Seattle Seahawks is Clint Kubiak.
Yeah.
You buy that?
I think so.
Changing to a zone run scheme where you can go out there. I think one of the biggest additions might be a guy that you're familiar with, Damian Martinez.
Yes.
That one intrigues me, too. So if you've got a three-headed monster in the backfield where you've got K-9 and Kenneth Walker III, who has not stayed healthy.
That's the biggest issue.
But now you've got backed up by Zach Charbonnet, who has been healthy and who has been very good, and you have Damian Martinez.
Yeah.
I kind of like that backfield there. And if you want to run the ball more and take pressure off of Sam Darnold and make it a little bit easier, Jackson Smith and Jigba had a great year last year.
Is the offensive line properly stocked and geared to do that and stay healthy?
They added three guys in the draft, including their number one pick with Gray Zabel. They're still getting low grades from Pro Football Focus as far as their offensive line is concerned. But when you switch schemes, it definitely changes things. The idea is just getting out in space and letting your running backs pick the hole that they run through in the zone run scheme could be interesting. Obviously, I'm excited about the Seahawks. That's why I wanted to get your
clearly
thoughts.
You are.
That's why I want to get your thoughts.
No, I think Vegas and others are hedging their bets. There's a lot of newness, and anytime you have that much turnover and change, how quickly can it assemble together and be productive?
Yeah.
When you're thrown into the fire. And so.
To me, there is no better league.
They certainly will be interesting. There are certainly reasons to tune them in. You don't expect it to be an abject dumpster fire the way you are seeing some other teams who are making similar amounts of bigger changes. But
first Sunday,
what does it all add up to? That's the biggest question. Who they open with?
They open with the Niners. They open and close with the Niners.
That's right.
I mean, let's freaking go. September 9th, I believe, is the Sunday. I think it's the 9th. They open in Seattle at home against the Niners. Let's go.
Sunday, September 7th.
Oh, September 7th as well.
Yes, September 7th. And
the
Niners just 1.5-point favorites on the road.
All right, let's go. We'll take a dip into the AFC, then we'll talk with Jeremy Piven. He's got a stand-up show tomorrow night, so we'll have him in studio to talk with us. But we'll get the breakdown of the entire AFC as a whole, and we'll do that next. Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague are not in, so you've got Luke Anderson and Jason Swigard. Jay is on the phone right now. He may be talking to Jeremy Piven. He's going to join us in studio, so he's going to be arriving here any minute and jump in. Right now, we're going to talk about some AFC football. We just went through all the NFC conferences in the last couple segments. But what you need to know about the AFC, the Bills are huge favorites to win the AFC East. We've got them at minus 275, Patriots at plus 475, Dolphins at plus 650, and the Jets way out there. Shocking, I know. But not a lot of people believing that Justin Fields is going to turn the Jets around. There you have it. They still get to play football. They are at plus 1,600. In the AFC North, the Ravens, man, it feels like a make it or break it year for them. If any team is Super Bowl or bust and try to figure out how to put a winning formula together. It is your Baltimore Ravens, but they are minus 135. Bengals, Swag mentioned it. If they can figure out how to get like maybe an okay defense with what Joe Burrow can do on the offense with Ja'Marr Chase, they can, you know, really wreak havoc when they get into the playoffs. Cincinnati is plus 210. Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know about you, but just watching him in a Steelers uniform is going to be weird. But they are plus 550. Steelers, all they do is have winning seasons under Mike Tomlin. So the chances of them making the playoffs, I don't know, in your mind might seem like a long shot, but if they get in, you have Aaron Rodgers, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Cleveland Browns plus 3,000. Browns still playing football. They've got seven quarterbacks and none of them that you want on your roster. So, you know what? If you want to take the Browns on a long, long, long shot, that ticket will cash big, which I guess would be nice. So take it or leave it. AFC South, you've got the Houston Texans as your favorite. They're plus 100. Jacksonville Jaguars plus 300. Indianapolis Colts plus 350. And the Tennessee Titans at plus 750. What happens with the AFC South? It feels like the Houston should be bigger favorites, but I suppose Jacksonville trying to get a resurgence kind of mixes things up a little bit. I know Indianapolis has a good roster, but actually putting something together when you're still trying to figure out what you're doing with Anthony Richardson, to be determined. The gap is closing a little bit for the Kansas City Chiefs as favorites. I've got them at minus 115, plus 300 for the Chargers, and seeing what Harbaugh and Justin Herbert can do. Should be one of the more interesting storylines this season. It certainly was last year, and they got better. It felt like every game. So when you have a little bit more runway to put together an offseason and just get continuity and go out there and figure it out, the Chargers should be very interesting to see what they end up doing. And then, of course, Pete Carroll taking over for the Las Vegas Raiders should make things interesting. Swag just walked back in. We've got Jeremy Piven in the producer studio, so we'll talk to him in a minute. But before we do that, we'll see if Swag can jump on here and give us some thoughts on the AFC and what he likes. I mean, for me, I just can't count out Kansas City until they prove that they can't win. I also think Baltimore is one of those teams that's just going to absolutely roll, and I don't think there's really much question about what happens with Baltimore until you get to the playoffs. I think you get in there and try to figure it out. And then the other big one is Buffalo, a heavy favorite to win their division, but I think that's another team that if they can finally jump over the hump, everybody in the AFC has a Chiefs problem until somebody figures out what to do with the Chiefs. So going through this whole list of AFC teams, as much as I want to pick somebody else, and I think as much as a majority of fans are ready to move on from the Chiefs, and Travis Kelce is too old, and Patrick Mahomes is going to run out of magic at some point, and Andy Reid is going to lose steam and figure out, somebody's going to figure out a way to beat him. Well, we still haven't seen it, right? It's been three straight Super Bowl appearances for the Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce hasn't ruled out playing beyond this season. So the idea that, you know, last year was a chance to ride off into the sunset if they got a Super Bowl win, it doesn't look like that's going to be the approach. I'm trying to get the oat milker's attention, but he's in there watching videos with Jeremy Piven. So we'll see if we can get either of these guys on the air anytime soon. But they're watching videos right now, so we'll do that. If you've got thoughts on really any NFL teams and you want to text them in, there's plenty of people that are excited about their teams trashing on Jason Swigard's thoughts on the Rams not having a rushing attack. Kyren Williams was great last year, so to kind of respond to that texter should be fun. So we'll see if we can get Swag in here, do a SportsCenter update, and then we'll have Jeremy Piven jump in and join us. I believe he's a big Bears fan, so we can kind of continue the NFL conversation, talk about the stand-up show that he's got tomorrow night. All we need to do is get Jason to keep moving toward the microphone. And there he is. being entertained by the entertainer in there, my friend?
Oh, yeah. No, he was sharing. Jeremy was sharing with me. He just did a special, taped a special that's going to be coming out later.
Yeah.
So he's getting some of the rough cut edits.
Awesome.
And so I was the first to see this cut.
You even ahead of me and the listeners.
I know.
It's fantastic. Well, let's go ahead and jump a little bit early.
Okay.
We kind of ran through the AFC there a little bit. My thought is until somebody beats the Chiefs, it's hard to pick anybody else. Baltimore can't do it in the playoffs. I'd love to see Buffalo break through. Who's your AFC champ?
The Bills will finally figure it out.
Okay.
It is life or death for them.
It's life or death for the Ravens more so than the Bills in my mind. Listen, they keep winning in the regular season and can't win in the playoffs if Lamar Jackson gets there healthy. But I'm with you. You've got multiple teams that have that kind of feel. If there's ever a make or break it, it's Aaron Rodgers on a 1-year contract with the Steelers.
Yeah,
that's going to be either a disaster or a delight.
Could be. Okay. Could be either.
All right. Let's get Jeremy Piven in the studio.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry. Hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Today, very special guest in studio,
yes.
Jeremy Piven. That's where you press the big applause button there, Swag, if you're doing anything over there.
My God.
Tomorrow night, Roseland Theater.
It's a little late, buddy. It's a little late.
Yeah, well, listen.
It's all about timing, guys. You're fired. Everyone's fired.
I've
been told I'm not funny professionally, so.
Timing only important for stand-up. You spent most of your career acting both on stage, television, in movies. We were just talking about it here before we came on the air. Not even listed on your Wikipedia page that you do stand-up comedy. How long have you been doing stand-up, and what got you into it?
Well, what's interesting is after three straight Emmys on Entourage, who's counting me? I'm going to now celebrate myself and give the audience. So they're like, Jeremy Piven. Is it Jeremy Renner? Is it Jeremy Strong? No, it's Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven.
We can give the folks a little reference. Over 80 movies and have been grinding since I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Getting my reps in.
Your parents ran an academy for acting. Is that where you start? Like you were born into it. It was before you were eight.
I was born into a theater family.
Yeah.
I just kind of grew up on the stage and in Chicago. When I got up on stage at eight with a guy named John Cusack, and he and I
heard him.
Yeah, he and I became friends and ended up doing a bunch of films together and started a theater company. But yeah, I've been doing this my whole life. And I could probably talk about myself forever until it's maybe the cure for insomnia, where people are going, I'm having trouble sleeping. Let's put that Piven interview on because it's boring me to death. All roads lead to stand up in the way that even, you know, doing Entourage or Rush Hour, which I totally improvise as the gay Versace salesman. there's so much I want to say right now that I can't.
Oh, I know.
Well, because the radio. Yeah. So what I'll offer.
The FCC is stopping you from saying.
I do
all
have
the
a
things.
Dump button. So.
Oh God, so do I.
Yeah, exactly.
I just pressed it. Sorry, guys.
Uh-oh.
Is there something?
Oh,
Jesus! No, we're gonna play through. Let's play through. So at the Roseland Theater, Friday night, July 11th. I'm going to say what I can't say on this interview.
Perfect.
Because out of respect for you guys, I want to say things now that I can't.
Yeah.
But I did have a moment with you just now that was really special, whether you realize it or not. I'm editing my special, finally, with stand-up so people know I do it.
Yep.
And that I shot in Chicago, where I grew up. And I have this Bill Belichick joke, and... I just didn't know if it was working, and I just played it for him, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you were laughing out loud.
I was laughing. Yes.
Well, we're trying to get it back for the last segment.
It landed.
So today he's kind of co-hosting, and I was trying to get his attention and back in, and you had him enthralled, so I could see him laughing through the glass.
Oh, good. Okay.
So yeah, listen, you ruined one segment. You're saving this one, so it all works
Thank God, just fine. That's the universe.
So when did you start doing stand-up? I thought I saw 10 years that you've been doing it now.
You know, I've been touring for 10 years, but I feel like I came out of the womb doing stand-up, and I've been, every set that I've ever been on, I'm pitching jokes and and improvising and doing my thing, and then at a certain point, I just went, wait a minute, because you spend so much energy going, okay, what's the best moment for this pitch to be received? You know, because my mom, who's been my acting teacher since I was a kid, said, you know, it's really about, you know, you got to find the right moment for you know, any of your ideas to be received.
Yeah.
And so that takes a lot of energy. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, just get on that stage and face your fears. And it's been the most freeing thing I've ever done in my life. And people come up to me afterwards and they go, we didn't know you were this funny. And that's after 80 movies. So that's a bit of a bad
thing. And a lot of them comedy. Most of them comedy, it feels like.
All comedy. But that's a beautiful backhanded compliment because, you know, no, if you're in a band and you're playing other people's writings, if you know, and then suddenly you're the singer songwriter, you know, like that was an important moment just now. I was like, oh, okay, I just tested it on him, and this guy, you know the lane, and he's laughing his ass off. So I'm happy. I love to do it. Also, you know, in real time, you're either hitting or you're bombing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is you should know a joke works before you see it on tape. When you're making a movie or TV, you have to trust an entire team of director, editor, co-stars, whomever else.
Yeah.
Stand-up, I've done a fair amount of stand-up myself, and you're on an island, my friend, and I don't know if you use any writers or if it's 100% pure Jeremy Piven, but when you go up there, it is sink or swim, my friend.
And that's what's so beautiful about it. I mean, you guys, your lane is sports, and that's what's, it really is the closest that we'll get to being a pro athlete because you have to rise to the occasion.
I was a pretty good JV basketball player.
There you
go. I got pretty close to making it.
Okay, so you understand the grind, and you've been humbled.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's invaluable. And that's helped you in your professional life because you know what it takes to succeed. And then also, you know, I had dreams of being a 5'9" Jewish linebacker in the NFL, and that doesn't exist. It's a lane, you know.
Really? I'm trying to think. Well, yeah, let me think through the.
Yeah, let's see. Brian Urlacher, 6'4", 262. No, you wouldn't have made it. Yeah. But Julian Edelman is exactly my size, and he's my spirit animal.
You guys have become friends?
We've become friends, and it's funny because this Bill Belichick joke that I just crafted, I can't wait to send to him because, of all people, those guys all know, you know, what it was like. He was so brilliant for so many years, and his mantra was no distractions.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's all distractions, which is interesting, all the time, 24/7. And it's just going to be fascinating because, you know, the reality is it's so hard to win in the NFL, and that guy put together so many winning seasons, and now it's so fun to watch Brady because he really, now that he's finally retired, is unpacking some of the variables as to why he was as good as he was, and it's so inspiring to see a guy like that and just go, okay, one of the major variables is he never stopped watching tape.
Yeah.
And he knew the tendencies of all the defense, of every cornerback and linebacker, what they were going to do.
Well, he said it was so hard to retire because the game kept slowing down. The more knowledge that he got, it just kept slowing down, which his body was slowing down too. But he did everything he could to keep it going. Then the lucky thing for him, he was never fast, so it didn't affect him as much as other guys.
No, but they should really study him on many different levels as a human because, you know, even he was timed in the 40, and at 46 years old, he beat his record, at the combine at 23, which isn't saying much because he was doughy and ridiculous, and any one of us now could have beaten him at the combine. But that's also inspiring. So it's amazing what the human body can do. And then, you know, so you just didn't know, like, what was the biggest component when they were winning all those Super Bowls. And Belichick seemed to get the best out of Randy Moss and guys that, like, no one could handle.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you see a guy like that, and he knew how to take great talent that other people didn't quite know what to do with, or these players couldn't play underneath. and he was brilliant. So I think he's still got some. He's got some juice.
Well, his first time in college football. I'm very curious what happens. But if you look at his record without Tom Brady, that's not great. It's not great. He lost in Cleveland. He lost after Tom Brady left. He had a losing season with Drew Bledsoe before he went in. But let's get back to you and kind of what's going on with your career. You're still making movies. I mentioned most of what you've done is comedy.
Yeah.
But I see that you're tap dancing and you're in a pretty serious role.
Yeah.
You've done stage. You've done TV. You've done movies. You've done now stand up, and you have your first special coming out.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? Is there something that you would, if you could only do one, is there one of those disciplines, or do you kind of love the variety?
I love it all for many different reasons. They're all just these different, you know, lanes, these creative lanes that are so challenging and fun, and just kind of it's all just an expression, you know, of you know, I'm going to get very ethereal and strange right now.
Do it.
You know, on this sports talk show, but
yeah,
you know,
good.
I think all of us are interesting, every one of us. Well, maybe not you.
No, I'm not. I think people will say that very quickly. I've learned that a long time ago. That's why we love having you in.
No, we all are, and I was taught at a very early age by my parents, who threw me up on stage. Like, you know, their mantra was, "You are enough." And as a kid, when you hear "I'm enough," oh wow, I didn't. Okay, cool. And then you get up, and you're just getting silly up there, and you're, because we're all, none of us are the same. So I'm just getting silly with Cusack at 8 years old on stage, and people are laughing, and we're going, "Wait, what's going on here? We think it's funny. They think it's funny. This is amazing." And so I just kind of kept going. And stand-up is, yes, it's incredible because it's all coming from me. And to answer your question, I write everything myself. Now, you know, guys that opened for me, there's a CJ Starr who's going to open for me here in Portland, who's just a killer. I like to hire killers who have been doing it way longer than me to open.
Yeah.
Because it's my job. If I were to be lazy and find someone that's new or that's going to make me look good, it's nobody.
Well, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Yeah.
I want someone that's gonna push me. And also, yeah, I'll take a note from anyone. So the notes I get, you know, this isn't someone that's going to come in and write my jokes, but they may come in and say, "Hey, man, your closer is amazing. You might want to open with it."
Yeah.
Or take a longer pause before you land the Bill Belichick's girlfriend coming in and stopping your entire run here.
Not,
you know what I mean?
About this.
No.
No.
Oh my God, that was awkward. That was surreal. She just, oh my God, she artistically cock-blocked me.
you seem like a competitive guy.
I am very competitive, yeah. I mean, that's why you see I've got flyers right here.
I see that.
So the reality is, you know, no one really knows I'm here yet. The Roseland Theater is this huge theater.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky that you know, I've been doing it forever and I have an audience so that I can walk the streets. You know, like, I'm not going to go out like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to have a half-full theater because it's not about ego. It's like, well, I don't want to leave having people go, "I didn't know he was here."
Yeah.
You know, so if I can get to you and then I want to give you the choice. Oh, yeah, I love, you know, Piven in when he played George in Seinfeld, or, yeah, you know, whatever brings you, the gay Versace salesman and whatever. I want to give everyone a chance to get in there and laugh, because we need to laugh right now because things are very surreal. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Every day we, you know, I don't really, there's some people that are obsessed with the news, and I don't, you know, it's just hard to know who to trust anymore. That's the reality.
I don't disagree with that.
What's going on? They want to be first, but who wants to be right?
Yeah. Well, that's why we love sports here, is because you can be wrong and get along. I can have a different opinion than you, and we can disagree, but guess what? The game's going to be played this weekend. We'll figure out who was right and who was wrong. In politics, it's you're wrong because you think differently, and then you actually have people that stop talking together, families and whatever.
I mean, that's insane. Yeah. All that I ask, or that we can hope for, is no matter where you're coming from, if you're available to have your mind changed. then you're golden.
Yeah.
You're great. And by that means that you've extracted your ego and you're not defined by your opinion. And then if you say something that makes sense, even though I've built my whole life on, well, hold on, this is the way it is, and you're making sense, if you can stop and go, hold on a second, wait a minute, okay, that's the truth, then we're on to something. We're not seeing a lot of that. And I'm on one now.
No, you're
good. But the reason why we're all here is we love sports, because there's something so real about it. No matter what you guys say or what your take on it is, they're going to have a chance to prove it on the field. And there's something so beautiful and pure about that that we love.
Yeah. Half the people listen to sports radio because they want to hate it. And half of people listen because they want to agree with you. So it's people will go, oh, did you hear what this guy said? He's so dumb. Well, why do you listen every day? Well, because I like to be right. So, and then half the people listen because they want to kind of go along for the ride. So it's definitely a fun medium to be in. We're going to take, do you want to stick around for one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
I've put together a little Jeremy Piven special questionnaire that I've got for you. They're all right and wrong answers.
No, listen, I'm excited and terrified.
Perfect.
You know,
nobody's ever gotten 10 out of 10 on this quiz. Ronnie Lott got 9 out of 10. So
Ronnie Lott. Yeah. The fact that you even mentioned me in the same sentence. Is Ronnie Lott.
That's right. You got to know who your competition is. Brock Heward also got a 9 out of 10.
Not a clue who that is, but.
Really?
No.
Wow. Brock Heward, college football analyst and former NFL quarterback.
There you go.
University of Washington.
Well done.
So there you go. That's why I led with Ronnie Lott.
Thank you.
The good news, Brock Heward, never heard of you. I don't know if that's true.
We don't know if that's true. Now you just touched a button.
That's what I was trying to.
And unfortunately, it was the dump button. So I just dumped it. Sorry, guys.
I'm trying to get you.
We got
to
clean up.
Clean up on aisle Jeremy. Let's go.
Good night, everyone.
Jeremy Piven sticking around for one more. We'll be right back with a Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Jeremy Piven sticking around for one more segment with us. Luke Anderson filling in for Dirt and Sprague. Jason Swigard with us as well. The guys are back tomorrow in spirit and Monday in person.
Can we, but before we go any further, is there any way we can just give away some tickets to the Roseland Theater to anyone that's listening? I just want to give them away because you guys are great. And even though I'm Jewish and I'm incredibly cheap, let's give away some tickets. And this pains me. By the way, you know how you know someone's Jewish?
Do tell. I'd like to make a guess, but we are on the air. So.
Well, no, the way you know someone's Jewish is they tell you.
There you go.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
People are like, hey, you want to go skiing? I go, I can't. I'm Jewish. Like, what? You want to go skydiving? I'm a landlocked Hebrew. Okay, come to my daughter's bat mitzvah. I'm not that Jewish. Okay, good night, everyone. Thank you for coming. I just had to slip in some jokes.
Please, yes.
Because as much as I love you guys, I do want people to know that I it would be my honor to make them laugh. You know, for 90 minutes at the Roseland Theater.
On 1080thefan.com, we do have an enter to win, so you can win tickets. Oh, but it sounds like if you text in right now, Jeremy will give you tickets.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and we'll hug it out afterwards, take some pictures.
There you go.
Let's go.
All right. You ready for the special Jeremy Piven quiz that I put you together? This is 10 questions.
Yeah.
We want quick answers. They all have right and wrong answers. Some have multiple correct answers. But I will try to do these as quick as I possibly can.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your first IMDb listing is for the movie Lucas. You played Spike. Your first TV listing was for Carol and Company in 1990. Mm-hmm. What character are you listed as?
Spike was my first movie, and I played a football player. And I just finished playing high school football for the Edmonton
Wildcats. Any quick answers here, Jeremy?
Oh, sorry.
We're going to get back into the interview here in just a second as soon as we get this. What was the character?
I'm an elite athlete. Sorry, that was my inner child. This is so awkward,
guys. On Carol and Company, what actor are you listed as?
Jeremy Piven.
You were listed as Robert Panda or Plumber. Lowest rated movie on your IMDb page is 2.6. Can you name that movie?
Probably that would be Car 54. Where are you?
Car 54.
Oh my God.
Correct. That is right.
That's amazing.
What is my favorite movie that you're in?
Old School.
Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The Cusack, best friend.
You
did a pirate captain voice as Black Bellamy in 2012's Pirates Band of Misfits. Unrelated to the movie, why couldn't the pirates play cards?
Because they are bad, right? Right,
because
don't know.
The captain was standing on the deck. Come on,
oh, of course. Oh, there we go. I love a good dad joke. That's the sound of people turning us off.
You said in an interview that you only eat fish as your protein for 20 some years,
yeah.
Sockeye salmon or halibut.
A halibut.
Oh, incorrect. Sockeye salmon.
Okay.
The Chicago Bears are your team, yes?
Yes.
Only team not to have a 4,000-yard passer in NFL history.
Mm.
Who has the most passing yards in Bears history?
You would think it'd be Jim McMahon. It's probably Sid Luckman.
It is Eric Kramer, threw for 3,838 yards in 1995.
I hate to see it.
My father recently made his first trip to Chicago.
Mm.
Tried Malort. What was his reaction? That was terrible, not that bad, or he ordered a second shot?
Second shot.
He got a second shot. You're correct. Is it acceptable to put ketchup on a hot dog?
1,000%.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. I also would have accepted not in Chicago.
Oh.
Can't put it on a Chicago dog.
Oh, okay.
What does the word piven mean in Ukrainian?
Singing cock.
That is correct. Absolutely. According
yes, there
to...
There you go. Also the name of my autobiography.
Is it really? I hope that is true. According to the 1990 book, Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook, should you lie down in front of a stampeding elephant?
Yes.
That is correct. All right. You got it. That book written by Josh Piven.
Josh
no
Piven. What
so
are we doing, we guys?
That. All right. How do you do on the quiz? I didn't keep track of the answers.
I think we got five.
We got 5 out of 10. Congratulations. Jeremy Piven at the Roseland Theater tomorrow night. Text in if you want tickets. He's giving them away.
Thank you guys so much. That was fun.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We are done for now. Bye-bye.